The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m.
What does the Lord require of us as His children? Yesterday, we began to see that He requires us to walk with Him humbly and to do right and to love mercy. In the second half of this sermon, Elder John Morgan Owens continues to show us from Scripture how we are to love God supremely and our neighbors as ourselves in our walk of discipleship here and now. Ultimately, we learn that it isn't about the legalistic adherence to the law, but about being God's hands and feet on this earth, showing forth His love to those who are in no position to pay us back.
Be thou my vision, O Lord.
And so these are the people that Jesus is talking to when he's given this, you know, and so they're wanting to parse out which of these laws is the most important for us to follow, because they knew in their heart they couldn't follow all of them. And he says, this is the most important law, is to love God with all that you have. And you think that if you are fulfilling that law correctly, if you're pursuing God, when you wake up in the morning and you start pursuing God and serving Him and loving Him with every breath that you've got all through that day, do you think that you're going to be in such a mindset that you're going to be dishonoring God in other things? No, if you're living that way, you're probably going to be doing justly that day. and loving mercy as best as we can. Obviously, we still have this sinful flesh. And then he says, the second is like, namely this, to love thy neighbor as thyself. There's none other commandment greater than these. We need to remember this as a church body. We are a family. And we are a unit, okay? We need to remember this when we get frustrated at one another, which it'll happen, okay? My little children, they're little angels. Well, y'all know better than that. Y'all have seen Cal. Y'all have seen him run around here, okay? But they look so sweet, okay? And Maggie is this beautiful, precious angel. Except from time to time, and that Maggie too, she's a precious angel. Except from time to time, my Maggie, her face will turn as if she is about to murder her brother, okay? And she will go after him. And I've seen her, she can't really run, but I have seen her run after him with a stick, okay? It happens amongst brothers and sisters, okay? We shouldn't be surprised when you have feelings within you of frustration at one another. That's normal, okay? But here's what we are supposed to do as a family. Here's what we're supposed to do as God's children. We are to remember the way that God loves us, and we are to try to love each other that same way. Okay? That means mercy. That means doing justly. We're going to do right by each other. But I can't control what you do. You can't control what I do. So if I wrong you, which I pray I don't, but your response should be, your default response should be mercy. We should be merciful to one another. And that's hard, y'all. That is hard. What helps me sometimes when I have somebody that I'm frustrated at is to remember the blood that Jesus shed for my sins, okay? And what a piece of garbage I am. and what love that God had for me. And also to remember that my brother or my sister that I'm frustrated with currently, they'll be in heaven because of the blood of Christ, the same as me, okay? That's hard. You commit to that mindset, it's hard to stay frustrated, okay? Now, let's go to Matthew 12. Now, this is, you wonder why I've struggled with this message so much this morning. It's a hard message for us to deal with, okay? Because it shows us so very plainly what failures we are, okay? I know we fall short of this. This is not a message targeted at anybody. This is a general message for me, for us, okay? In Matthew 12, Jesus says, at that time Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were anhungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. Now, you know, we think of corn as, you know, corn, okay? Just for the sake of history, okay, I want us to realize that in the Bible when it says corn, it's referring to grain, because that's the word that it means. Corn, as we know it, or maize, was in the Americas, okay? It wasn't, you know, they discovered it here in the Middle East. When they refer to grain, it would have been wheat, okay? So they're walking through the path, and they're hungry, and they need sustenance, and they pick up some of the raw grain off of the sheaves there, and they eat it. They eat a handful. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do not do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. Tisk, tisk, tisk. You got people here who are just waiting for people to violate. This is obviously not how God instructed us to be in Micah, is it? To do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with thy God. But he said unto them, Have ye not read what David did when he was an hungered, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them that were with him, but only for the priest? Or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? He's trying to teach them that, you know, if you zero in on legalistic approach of application of Scripture, you're going to come to some erroneous conclusions from time to time. You know, it was one of those things that we did in law school where, you know, we would have hypothetical scenarios where the law obviously says you can't break in and enter to a house. You know, that's obviously against the law in every state. And then they would give you a hypothetical of, well, this person it's a freezing cold night, and the person is stranded, and they break in to save their life. And say, is it against the law? Well, I mean, you could say, yes, technically it's a violation of the law. However, it's justified, right? That's what Jesus is saying here, is that, look, if you want to just only focus in on the law, you're going to, in a sense, by not focusing on the heart of the intent of the message, you're going to end up being dishonoring to God. These, you know, David came in and got the showbread, which was not lawful for him to get, but it was a life or death scenario for him. It's not like he could go anywhere else in the city. He was being hunted, okay? And so that was the only provision that he could find. It was not lawful for him to take it under the law, but yet he did what was necessary, and Jesus deemed it to be justified, okay? He says this, But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. All right, now, what I want us to get here is that Jesus is again teaching them that they have misapplied the law because they have not understood their Heavenly Father. Okay. He says, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. He says, if you had read that, if you had known that, then it says you would not have condemned the guiltless. All right, so let's talk about mercy. We've talked about doing right. And he says to do justice, to love mercy. Now, I said earlier that does not mean that mercy is always the response. You know, imagine if, you know, somebody commits a crime, somebody robs someone, somebody kills somebody, and they come before the jury, and all the jury says, well, the Lord says to love mercy. Or one that they often use is, judge not, lest you be not judged. and I think I quoted that wrong, but you know the verse, okay? And they say, well, because of that, I can't judge this action. Well, obviously, that would be us not doing justly. That would be us, as we say, having a miscarriage of justice, okay? He doesn't say, well, here Jesus says, have mercy. If you'd understood that, you would not have condemned the guiltless. Okay? It's appropriate to condemn the guilty, okay? It's not appropriate to condemn the guiltless. There's a huge distinction, obviously. Now, has somebody ever been mad at you for something that you didn't do? Okay. Now, that's a situation of you being guiltless, okay? And yet somebody may react in such a way that condemns you. That's not them loving mercy, okay? Now, let's imagine it this way. Imagine that somebody wrongs you, or you think they wronged you. You know what happens? If you don't show mercy and you lash out at them, let's say they didn't actually wrong you, well, now you've wronged them, okay? And now we've got a cycle, and it spirals, and it gets worse and worse and worse, and it blows up, and all of a sudden you don't have a friend anymore, okay? We are supposed to be merciful to people when they haven't really wronged you, okay? Now, it's also appropriate if somebody has done something wrong to you, and it's a fact, you know it, mercy is still a good response. You know, when something becomes to the level where justice would not be served, it would be an injustice not to point it out, that's when we have to let that first govern, okay? We always ask people when we're selecting a jury, when we're striking a jury for a criminal case, one of the questions we always give to the big jury pool of people is, do you have a problem with standing in judgment of another man? You know, and we try to get people who take those words of judge not as meaning that means you cannot sit in judgment at all. You know, we understand that's not what it teaches. The Lord says in the Bible for you to judge righteous judgment. That's the point, okay? It's for you to not be just dishing out judgment of people constantly. It's for you to wait for judgment, okay? For you to wait. If somebody has wronged you, it's an accident. You know, if you were to just rush to judgment right away, then what's happened is now you have broken that bridge down between you and that person even further. That's why mercy is the default response. If someone continues to do you wrong, continues to do things in such a way that is dishonoring to God, then yeah, you know, certain judgment is appropriate. Okay, now we can have a whole message on that. I didn't mean to get off on that. But he says, if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. If your focus is on the Lord and on understanding Him and on trying to reflect the way He loves, you're going to get some of these things right. It sounds like it's a lot for us to judge, and we know that the only righteous judge is God. The closer we walk to Him, and the closer we visit with Him and we walk humbly with Him, the more we see through His eyes, okay? We'll never get it right. There's a lot of things that the Lord is going to have to sort out, okay? But what we try to do in loving mercy is we try not to exacerbate the issues. We try not to be a part of the problem, right? We want to be a part of the solution. If someone fires off at you and you don't fire back, you know what you've done? You have probably saved that person. You've saved your relationship with that person, because if you fire back, all of a sudden you've got a battle, okay? And it's going to continue to escalate until somebody's pride gives in and you submit back to one another, okay? Now, let's go to James chapter 1, and let's just finish there. As if this wasn't already a hard enough message for us to listen to, let's go to the book of James chapter 1, and we began by asking, you know, what's our purpose? What are we supposed to be doing? As God's children, what are we supposed to do? Obviously, to do right, to do justly, to love mercy. Mercy should be our default response. You know, let the Lord reveal to you when mercy is not the appropriate response, okay? Because He will. There are times, and even in the book of Proverbs where it tells us, it says on one hand to answer not a fool according to his folly, right? Unless you be like him. But then the next verse says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. There is a time in which it's best to be quiet and to let mercy prevail. And there's times in which it's right to push back. Okay. But since we are imperfect beings, what our default ought to be is mercy, to love mercy, and let God show you. Let Him lead you clearly when that is not the response that should be taken in that situation. And we also talked about walking humbly with God and how that is the way in which we can get better at the other two. James chapter 1 and verse 26 tells us about what is true religion. What is it to be a real Christian? It says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, and this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Man. And again, you look at that and you think, man, that's really hard. It's really hard to do that. It's not just about what you say. It's not just about keeping any of these other little minor laws. It's about being the hands and the feet of God in the midst of this place. To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. You know, that's a tough thing. Fatherless and widows, the orphans, the widows. I deal with people through DHR who are, you know, children. They're either fatherless or they're, you know, basically fatherless. And then you deal with, also through that, you deal with elderly who are, you know, in dire straits and don't have family, don't have support around them. And what do you notice about those two, those people in those two different scenarios of life? Is that they're in no position whatsoever to pay you back. You know, it's not like they can come along and say, well, you helped me out, and so I'm going to pay you money. Or you help me out, so I'm going to remember you. You know, in my experience with the some of the orphans and some of the widows that oftentimes are either too little to remember the good act that you've done, or they're too old to remember. But he says that's pure religion. That's real, true Christianity. Is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Man, how do we do that? How do we do that? You know, Jesus, I think Jesus' teaching ultimately is our answer, okay? He sums up everything in those two commandments. He says, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. You know, we want to get better. We want to be better. We want to not just say we're Christians. We want to be Christians. We don't just want to say that we're His children. We want to look like we're His children. It's going to take some work. It's going to take us walking with Him, spending time with Him. And I fail on all of those, okay? I fail in my prayer time. I fail in my study. You know, How often do I pick up my phone or I turn on the TV when I could be walking with the God of creation, the God of glory? And if I did that, the more that I spend with Him, the more that I think it would shine out to other people. When Moses came down from the mountain after he'd been with the Lord, he wasn't even, you know, he wasn't even allowed to see God's face. He was just in His presence, so to speak, in an indirect way. And his face shined so bright when Moses came down that the people that he was talking to couldn't even look at him. You want to do right? You want to love mercy? You want to walk humbly with your God? You want to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction? You want to be real and not just talk about it? The only way for us to really do it is to just spend time with Him. Spend time with Him, and the shine from the reflection off of your face, from just being with Him, the outpouring from your heart after being with God will sort out the rest. Okay? You stay in the presence of God, I believe we'll start living right and doing right. Okay? Now that's going to take all the effort that you've got to go visit with God and to be with Him. Again, I struggled with this message because partly I think because I know what a hypocrite I am to give it. Okay? But I know it's one I can't not preach it just because I fail at it. Okay, those are the ones I need to be preaching more. You know, I hope that nobody feels like I was reading your mail or targeting you. This message was for me. Okay, if it benefits you, then let's work together, okay? But I hope that we can serve God better today than I did yesterday. I hope that's an encouragement to you.
Thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast. We hope you'll join us again tomorrow when we'll present another message of God's sovereign grace. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com, where you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter J, chrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast, and may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.